This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast. For 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in that games media combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
Yeah, I don't know the spiel.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, including Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to help support, if you want to join that PlayStation conversation, though, head over to the Facebook group, the facebook.com/group/thepopculturist, as well as Twitter, Discord, all those socials, links in the description below. If you want to support the channel with some monetary assistance, head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist, support us at any dollar value, get yourself a nice little sneaky link where you can watch us record this show live, as well as our other show, The Young and the Wrestlers, the Pop Culturist WWE podcast. It's about all we offer, really. Our Patreon's pretty disappointing. If you want to support us in a more once-off fashion, head over to popculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. I am currently looking into some Christmas themes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just because
fun.
Just because I haven't put any new shirts in there in a while.
Oh, can we get like some Popsy ugly Christmas sweaters?
That's what I'm hoping. That's what I want. Nice. So I've reached out to our good friend James over at Pixel Beast to look at some cool Christmas ideas.
Not that anyone in Australia will wear
it. No, if it's just a t-shirt but it looks like a ugly Christmas shirt, then we're all good.
Get some Popsy stockings.
Ooh, that would work. Cool pillowcases and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I like it. We are also on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist. And first off, big apologies. I've not streamed in like a month. apart from you and I doing WWE, like in terms of our regular.
Didn't you post something the other night saying you didn't end up streaming?
Nah. Oh mate, like two people answered, so I was like, fuck it.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it was just a situation of like I was just rooted.
Yeah, sometimes life
genuinely rooted.
Sometimes life gets in the way.
I actually fell asleep on the couch again. Part of it. So it's just more a situation of like, if there's strong interaction, then yeah, I'll go do it.
Yeah,
I'll push through. But then there's like minimal response. I was like, eh. But I will endeavor to stream this week because I've only got a 3-day work week this week because I got Monday off because we don't get Geelong Cup off at work, but we get Melbourne Cup off, so they give us Monday. So we have Monday, Tuesday, we got a 4-day weekend.
Oh, nice, lucky.
Wednesday is my birthday, but we'll be recording The Young and the Wrestlers, no, so I can't do birthday stream. But I can do a stream on the Thursday.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So I don't know what I'm gonna play though. But might be, I don't think Death Stranding's super embargoed up the bumhole, so probably not. But we don't have it yet. We'll talk to that
because it comes out Friday.
Friday. Paul James in the chat. He's one of our beautiful Patreon supporters. What's up, Paul? Congratulations, by the way, to Paul, Matt, and the team over at Player 2. They raised $4,000 for the Tony Campisi Foundation on their 24-hour stream. They just wrapped up probably about 2 hours ago. Huzo looked like shit. He looked so rooted. They got him to shave his beard off, so he looks nothing like Huzo. It was very weird. But no, congratulations to them. They well done, guys. Terry, what'd I say? I don't know. It's a cool foundation. They've done this for the last like 3 or 4 years, and they've each year they've gone up and they've been able to meet their goal. They've had some impressive giveaways. They spoke to a lot of PR people, sent them a bunch of stuff. They had like games at the Wazoo. They had like an Arkham Knight collectors. They had two Division collectors, which I wanted to claim, but then I decided not to. I was like, it's fine.
I watched them. They were playing Just Cause.
That was
fun.
Yeah.
That was great. I think that was at the very start. But that was good fun.
Yeah. How are you, man?
Yeah, not too bad.
How's this? We talked about last week with your kidney stone pains.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's honestly the worst. I would not wish it upon my worst enemies. Like it's.
So is it like in the, is it yeah, the back so pain?
It's, like it's like the flank.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. And then across the front as it moves its way from my kidney to my bladder to out my penis at some point.
Because so, for those playing at home, not out the pain.
Not out.
Yeah. So the risk is still imminent.
Yeah, the risk is still imminent. It's just every time I go to the toilet, it's like, is this the time that I crack the toilet bowl? So, you know, I was, you know, pumped full of morphine, endone, and it barely took the edge off the pain. It was not fun.
It did make me laugh though, because the original plan was for you to come here and do the show, obviously.
Yeah.
And then I get a message from you like, hey, I can't come. I'm like, why? And I was got a picture of you in a hospital. I'm like, that's a good reason.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah, I imagine it sucks.
So I was in hospital from, 2 o'clock Saturday till 3 o'clock Sunday.
Yeah. So I guess it's pretty gnarly. Like, you can still donate to get your Div 2 edition. Ooh.
Well, the issue was, so when I got there, the nurse is like, oh, we'll give you some morphine in a drip. I'll think about that one. We'll give you some morphine in a drip. But she's like, but I've been told this is the best. And she holds up this pill that's about this big.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, here's some jelly right up the bum. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. I'm sorry. And she looks at me and she's like, I can do it for you. And I'm like, I'm good for now. I'm good for now. I don't know how I'll. Yeah, I don't know.
See, because the thing for me is because like my closest example is when I had my appendix.
Yeah.
When it nearly exploded.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I went 4 days with ridiculous pain. I didn't shit in 4 days. If anyone that knows me personally, that's not a good thing. Like I have IBS. I shit 4 times a day.
Yeah.
Like on a good day. So that was concern number one.
Yeah.
Two, it felt like someone had kicked me in the dick for 4 days, and then it's just this whole pain everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it turns out, yeah, because I obviously similar to yourself, you're like, I'm fine to go to the doctor's, and like, holy fuck!
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because the doctor's like, you know, give me a urine sample. If we find traces of blood, it's kidney stone. Like, just, that's it. And I'm like, I just peed just before I came in. I'm not going to be good for like another 4 hours. He's like, we'll take this x-ray thing over to the hospital, go to the emergency room, and they'll take you to get your x-ray straight away. And then the triage guy saw me popping pain pills while I was standing in line. He's like, what'd you take? I'm like, oh, I just took this. He's like, yeah, it's a good start, but we'll admit you and we'll get you some morphine, some endo.
Is that selling
like,
your shit?
Because like, literally the second the pain meds wore off, I vomed from the pain.
Yeah.
So they were giving me anti-nausea stuff to help with the vomiting, but I wasn't nauseous vomiting. I was like, I'm in pain vomiting.
Yeah.
So it just didn't work.
Well, because like, you're obviously at a point now where it doesn't hurt.
No, so I'm not in any pain anymore. I'm just waiting,
because that was the thing, like once I woke up from surgery from my appendix, the guy was like, either you'll feel the best you've ever had in your entire life or you'll feel the worst. And it was the best feeling, because I didn't realize how much pain I'd been in for 4 days.
Yeah,
because you don't realize, and I'm sure you're the same, like when I went away you're like, oh my god, everything's so amazing, like everything feels different, everything tastes different.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So yeah, it's not fun.
No,
not a fun experience.
Yeah, the real scare is now, like, what's next?
Well, the issue was, as I was leaving, they're also like, now that you've had one, you're more susceptible to more. And I'm like,
stoked,
lovely, can't wait.
Well, it's the same as now that I've had my shingles, because I'm just a fucking hot mess of medical problems apparently. I can, like, it's just like, hey, any moment, bam, shingles again.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, that sounds like the bot. That sounds like the worst. It's the worst. I'm not interested in doing that at all. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, I mean, well, I have not had kidney pain. So that's promising.
Yeah, I managed to get, 5 days off work out of it.
But you're casual,
instantly,
though.
No. So I'm permanent now. So I instantly used up all of my sick leave. I'm already out of sick leave. So that's fun.
Yeah. Well, that was the smart thing, because like, when I had my appendix out, because I from going, because my last job was my first full time job.
Yeah.
So my brain was still switched on casual mode, even for like the 4 years that I was there. It's like, you don't take sick leave, you don't get paid. I was like, fuck, okay. So when I got my appendix, I had like 200-300 hours of sick leave.
Yeah.
And they're like, for the doctor, he's like, how much time do you want? I'm like, how much time do I need? He's like, 6 weeks. I was like, yes.
Nice.
So I had like a long ass window of time, because like I couldn't lift, I couldn't do shit because of surgery. But well, at least you got a week off work.
Yeah, and then I've got another 4 weeks coming off soon, because I'll get 2 weeks paternity leave.
Oh yes, babies right around the corner.
You take 2 weeks of annual leave as well at the same time, so it should be good.
Yeah, how is getting ready for baby day?
The wife, well, she's good. She's, you know, she finishes up work in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
And then she's got 8 months off. She's like, woo. She's, we're 5-6 weeks away now, so.
It's getting real.
Getting real.
Yeah.
Getting real.
Is the house prepped? You ready to go?
Yeah, nursery's all set up. Nice. Ready to go. Everything's done.
Yeah. Did you have an involvement in the setting up the nursery?
Yeah, I set it up.
Oh, nice. I didn't.
It was me.
I was up at EB Expo, and then I came back and it was all done. And it was, but it was not in the way of like, whew, dodged a bullet. As in, it was just
like
it was an emotionally overwhelming moment to see it all set up that way. Like, but then you see my house. My house is a fucking mess now. So like it's not too bad.
Like it's kind of set up still as a secondary spare bedroom as well, because there's still a queen size bed in there, but there's just like cot, change table, all the other stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's cool.
It's good fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the only downside is, once they start, like, as you can, you say, you've been, my house is fucking gross. Like, our house is consistently messy because, like, just kids don't give a shit, and then you're all tired and exhausted, so you don't do things you're supposed to.
We're like, because we're renting at the moment, where we just emailed and we're like, can we install a dishwasher, please? Because we're just, like, super not going to have that time
anymore.
Yeah.
It's just exhausted for so long. Like, even now, I'm still like, I can't imagine how exhausted my wife is.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you just completely, you never knew how much, how you can run on so little sleep constantly.
Yeah.
And you never get it back. But anyways, with Pat Lee on the way.
Yeah.
Just had a week off. I imagine you played some games.
Yeah. I've been playing Outer Worlds, like probably most people.
Yep.
I've been playing it on Xbox due to Game Pass.
Yeah, you can't argue Game Pass.
I've probably poured about 10 to 15 hours into it. It's great.
It's absolutely fantastic.
It's exactly what I was looking for in a semi-open world RPG.
I agree. The only issue that I'm having with it is in order for me to turn it on. I say that because I'm like, oh, I really want, like, I'm going to, when I play it, I want to go deep.
Yeah, it's a game that you don't want to play in, like, a short.
Yeah, so yesterday I played it for, like, what felt like 3 hours, I guess. It was a long stretch of time, and it was really cool, because I was able to, like, cool, I've got some allocated time, I'm just going to chip away at it. I had such a lazy day yesterday, it was absolutely amazing. so I just chipped out away, so I'm off the first world now.
Oh, nice.
So I'm heading off to Groundbreaker, which is a ship that's nearby, do some cool shit in there. I did as much as I possibly could on that first world.
Yeah, so I did the same thing. I'm hitting, like, all side missions, doing everything.
This is not a spoiler, because it's only the first couple of hours of the game, really.
Trying to, you know, the fun of it is to try and get as overpowered as possible quickly.
Yeah, so like one thing we talked about as well is normally when I play games like this, I try to focus on combat because it's what I'm used to. Saying that though, because the combat in this game is good, it's certainly not its strongest point.
No.
I'm focusing more on communicative because I'm enjoying talking to everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm really putting things into lockpicking, like stealth and like persuasion and just like...
Yeah.
Everyone's like, I want to punch you. Like, really?
Are you sure about that?
Like,
are you playing with... Have you unlocked any companions yet?
I have Parvati,
yep.
Who's the woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have the vicar.
Okay, so I've only got Parvati so far because I made some really bad dialogue choices. But the one thing I liked about in this game, especially because normally companions are the worst.
Yes.
Especially if you want to try and play stealthy, they'll be like, there's an enemy over there. And they'll just run over there and die. Whereas in this, you can just set them to passive. And you're like, do not attack anyone, ever. Just be sneaky. Just chill. And then you get in combat, and then you're like, why aren't you doing anything? And then you forget that they're set to passive, and you actually have to physically tell them to do stuff. So I'll be fighting a group of enemies, and my companion will be sitting there going, you got this.
You!
Yeah, so...
Good moral support. That's what's needed.
Yeah.
Because I think there's only two companions on the first world. I don't know. Because I've talked to pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
And actually people were interested. So, yeah, no, like, I like it. So, I haven't done much with the Vicky yet, so I'm not quite sure what the difference is. Parvati's awesome. I think she's great, if I'm saying it correctly. I think she's an awesome companion. Like, she has that rad hammer.
Well, yeah, she was...
She's fun just to talk to.
She was so useful for me at the start because I had no weapons to deal with any machines. And she just, like, fucked them up with her lightning hammer.
Oh, did you not do that? So, there's a gentleman who's trying to fight the robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you do those missions?
Yeah, but I didn't realize that he gave me stuff. I was just still using the stuff that I was using.
Oh.
So I just had, like, plasma rifles.
Yeah, so I modded the shotgun and he just blows apart, like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I should have looked into that. The game's great. The game's absolutely amazing. Yeah, for me, it's going to be a long...
It's a shame they didn't have the budget that they clearly wanted. Like, I would have been... Because there's obviously no... relationship stuff with your companions. It's very top level
stuff. Yeah, but it still feel, but the dialogue makes it feel deep.
The dialogue's great. Like, it's such a fantastic, like, it's very much, because they did, what, Fallout New Vegas?
Yes.
And then OG Fallouts 1 and 2?
People that are part of the team did.
Yeah. But no, such a fantastic game. Like, it's definitely worth playing if you're an RPG fan.
And the big benefit is, because I bought the copy myself, we're not under that pressure to review it, so I'm really able to, like, just kind of chill with it.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm enjoying, just kind of tipping away at it here and there. Like, obviously, we're still reviewing it because we still really enjoyed it, but I mean that as in, it's just, I've not got that pressure to get it done as soon as possible.
You can put some quality time in.
Which is really cool. And so, we talked about last week about the first moral dilemma. which I made the decision. You and I had different decisions.
Yes,
which is cool. And it's just even that simple decision had multiple facets to it. Like, as in, you said you weren't going to do it for this reason. I'm like, yes, but I did it for the opposite reason. I did my decision, but I put this and this in place to allow. For the best of all worlds, pretty much.
Well, yeah, I pretty much made up my mind about that character the second I met him.
Me too.
You're a bit of a dick, and I'm not going to help you at all.
Mild spoilers. The first moral dilemma that you have, it's anyone that's played the game for like 3 hours will know. You land. You need. There's a ship there that you need to get an energy regulator for, a power regulator. And the thing is, there are two in the area. There's one in the cannery. It's one of the big town of Edgewater. And then there is one in a geothermal plant nearby that is running a bunch of deserters. So under this big capitalism setup, people are just working until they fucking die. In Edgewater, so it's not good. So when people are being either kicked out or they're choosing to leave and then desert, and then they go live in this slide town. Because the town is so pumped by their goals and their capitalistic endeavors, is the situation is like, well, these guys would presumably be the bad people here.
Yeah.
And then you go talk to the deserters, you're like, okay, you guys seem like the morally correct people.
Yeah.
However, after I was discussing with the leader, her name's Adelaide, I was talking to her, I'm like, oh, some of the things you're saying really don't fucking land. I mean,
don't get me wrong, she was still pretty bad, but, like, I felt that he was worse.
Yeah, so like some things aren't really landing. And then, interestingly enough, when I got everything in place and I went to make the decision, I turn around and Pravati's like, hey, just for what it's worth, here's my 2 cents.
Yeah.
That happened to you too?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. And I was like, fuck, it's kind of a good point. So like, I genuinely took it on board and I was like, huh. Because her argument was like, why should the town suffer? There's way more people in that town that will suffer with that lack of power.
Yeah.
So what I did is that I was like, all right, what can I put in place to ensure those deserters can go back? And the game allowed that.
Oh, yeah, there was an option for that.
Which is awesome. So I went back and I did some side missions for those in the deserted town to bring up their goodwill with me. So that way, when the time come, I could be like, you want to go back over there? And part of that is I was hoping to discuss with Reed about kicking him the fuck out and bringing in Adelaide. So the town still exists. The town still works. Yeah. However, maybe just not him as the leader, but I couldn't quite work that out in the run that I was doing.
Yeah, well, my goal was I essentially wanted to screw them both over because I didn't like either of them.
Mm.
But there was no option to just be like, give no one power, take both power modules. So I had to pick one.
Yeah.
And I liked the characters outside of the city more than I liked the characters inside the city.
True.
So I'm like, I'm just gonna do this and just not give the power to the city. And then obviously you go back to the city and everyone hates you and they're like, you want our power modulator? We'll fight you for it. And I was like, you don't want to fight me for it. And they're like, we don't want to fight you for it.
Persuasion.
So nah, it's great. Fantastic game. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, same. I completely agree. It's absolutely brilliant. One thing we've also both been playing is Call of Duty as well.
Yeah.
So, have you been playing multi or campaign?
Bit of both.
Yeah?
So, I think I've done about 5 of the story campaign missions. Okay. I'm not very far through it. It's very confronting.
It's a bit stuff. Let's get some air in here. Keep talking.
Very, very confronting. I think, like, 2 missions in, I'm surprised at what we got, especially here in Australia. There are literally missions where I'm just shooting women that are protecting children, and that was a bit intense.
But yeah, it kind of adds to what I was saying last week about war is fucked.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, unquestionably, war is fucked. And this is just demonstrating that war is fucked. And the difficulty that I perceive with games like this is that it is that minor desensitizing.
Yeah.
And the idea of, like, you know, you just go and you get 30 kills in multiplayer.
But so you can do that suspension of belief in multiplayer. Like, there's not that, because there's no... I feel that there's not as much weight behind it. But when it's telling a story, it's a little bit different, I find.
Yeah. Like, and I like that it's making... Like, obviously, you feel a bit confronted by this, yeah. right?
Oh, it was pretty intense.
And that's awesome. And, like, I know it's horrible that you're shooting women or whatever, but it's like, that is awesome. It means the game is delivering something. Like, one of the biggest things about Call of Duty campaigns in the past is they feel vapid and empty and just these big showcasey adventures. Like
I think when you and Paul were talking about it last week, about the very start, with the explosion of Piccadilly. Mm. Like, it's pretty intense. It's not something that...
Yeah. And it's fucking gnarly. And it's so good that they're willing to make this decision and be like, no, no, we want something to say and we're going to put a bit of time and effort into it and we're going to make you uncomfortable.
Did you see the the issues that people are bringing up about the... I don't know how far through the campaign you are, but about...
I have not played any more campaigns since last week.
Okay, so you haven't gotten up to the what do they call it? I think it's the Highway of Death, where basically it's a real place and stuff actually happened there. And in this game, it portrays the Americans as the good guys, when apparently that wasn't the case.
Oh, well, wow. Okay.
And they're pulling it from shelves in, I think it's in Russia, because it's...
Okay.
They're saying it's like American propaganda.
Coming from the place of propaganda. Okay. A bit rich, but cool.
Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Paul's the man with the know. If he still is there in the chat, hasn't fallen asleep from his 20-hour stream.
But yeah, it was pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I'm such a big advocate of that, because I said people are like, it makes you feel something. I'm like, yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be confronting you.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, if we want games to be the art form that everyone claims they are, you know what art does? It makes you feel. It makes you understand. It makes you rethink the world that you are in. And if they did not do that here, they would not be delivering what they said, what they should be delivering.
Well, they had big shoes to fill after not having a campaign in the last Call of Duty. I believe this wasn't even Infinity Ward's turn for their game, was it? Sledgehammer wasn't ready in time, and they went, well, you're out.
Pretty much. I think they may have been right.
They put Treyarch back in, because they did the last one before Black Ops 8, didn't they? Didn't Treyarch do World War 2? Wasn't that the last one?
Sledgehammer did World War 2. Yeah, Sledge did Warhammer 2. World War 2.
Because was it World War 2 then Black Ops 4? Yes. Was there something between those?
No, that's okay. So yeah, no, it is still in order.
Okay.
Which is cool. I think Treyarch were like, we don't really have anything else. Yeah. I think Sledgehammer may have been handling the campaign for Treyarch.
Yeah, maybe.
Or something like that. I remember, it seems like so long ago. But yeah, so but multi releases. Though.
Multiplayer, I haven't played too much. I've realized that I'm not as good as I used to be.
Yeah, big time.
And that upsets me.
Oh no.
Because I get really shitty.
Yeah.
And everyone frustrates me the way they play. Like, there'll be some dude sitting in a corner with a shotgun with, like, you can't see me perks on, and you just get blasted in the back and one shot. And then I'm just like, well, I remember why I stopped playing this game.
I'm having the opposite. I'm having such good time.
I'm glad one of us is enjoying it. I fucking hate it.
Granted, I'm still dying, like, a lot. But then I have moments where I'm fucking wrecking shot.
Yeah.
So, like, what I've dipped my toes into realism. The realism mode.
Oh, yeah. The,
like, so, like, essentially the hardcore modes. There's no hard, no nothing. And if anything, it's filling my possible ADHD brain. Because I dominate in realism. Because there's none of the extra shit to distract me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because I tend to look a lot at the map, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever the fucking scanning thing is in the corner, and I find that cost me a lot of hits. Yeah. Because I'm too busy looking, and then someone goes, "Oh shit!" and then I'm down. So by playing in realism, I just get to, like, play and awesome, and I dominate.
How are you finding the maps?
Fine.
Yeah.
There's a couple I like more, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, the train yard one, I'm pretty okay with. The one that's, like, a side of a cliff, it's, like,
all... See, my main Middle concern Eastern. With the maps is I think they're too small. I find them to be way too small.
The one in, like, the UK... one in Britain, like, the little Piccadilly one, that one is way too small.
Like, because I've been playing mainly Domination, because it's the only game type that I can actually find games in, because I don't like playing just regular TDM.
Yeah, where's Skill Confirm, goddammit?
My main two game modes are Search and Destroy and Capture the Flag, and no one plays those. So I have to play Domination.
Yeah.
And there's literally a map where you can see all three flags from one spot, and there's always someone sitting there with a sniper just shooting everyone. And it's just frustrating.
That I agree with. That's fucked.
I like the fact that apparently there were some leaks saying that all the classic maps are coming back. Obviously, there's no paid DLC in this game, so apparently we're getting all the maps for free, so that should be nice if that's the case.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's just another COD game. It feels good. The gunplay's still nice. It's, you know...
Yeah.
If you like COD, you'll probably like this game.
I like it more because I talk about this every time. It's like, I did not like the Black Ops 4, the, you know, Black Ops 3, all that Advanced Warfare shit.
Well, see, I haven't liked a good COD... I haven't liked a COD game since Black Ops 2.
Yeah.
That was the last one that I enjoyed.
Yeah, you dominated. Like, whenever I tell my stories about back in the day of Call of Duty and how I used to play for like 6 hours a day, that sort of shit, when that was with Max. And Max, I would just hold on to those coattails. I would take all those wins just by being there.
To be fair, though, back then, me and friends actually played competitively. So, you know, we tried a little bit too hard. We got a little bit sweaty.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
But yeah, so there is that history there, and it's very jarring because I've never been good. And I'll admit that.
I think I still got some old photos of like screen caps of like end game scoreboards.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, look, as I said, I've never been good. Like, I will flux as the next guy. I think I always ever came second last. I think Wilbo was always last. But so I always fluxed. And that's more of what I'm doing now as well. Which is fine. It's fine. Oh, one thing I have been playing that you and I have been meaning to play for a very long time is Rock Band 4.
Oh, yeah. I actually noticed that the other night.
So last night, after watching the 24-hour stream with Paul and Player 2, from 9 p.m. till 10 p.m, they were playing Rock Band.
Oh, nice.
And I was watching it, and I'm like, I gotta play fucking Rock Band. So I pulled out the guitar now because my kid loves playing with the guitar. We took the batteries out. I'm like, where the fuck are the batteries? Or do you have any other spare batteries? Eventually found them, plugged it in, played for like 3 hours. And holy shit, is my hand not what it used to be? Like, it took me a while. Probably took me like 5 or 6 songs to really get that momentum back.
Yeah.
And once I got it, I was like, no, this is it's muscle memory. It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's good fun. Yeah. It's such a great game.
Yeah, so play bass for a little while just to get the momentum back.
It's super upsetting that they just don't exist anymore.
Well, they do. They still release tracks. I mean, they every release week.
Track.
Like this week, we got Unsainted by Slipknot, which is a song I'm a big fan of. So I went before I did that because I still buy games on like them once a month or something. I'm like, what's come out in the last month? Oh, Clutch, Slipknot, Panic at the Disco, Bing, Bing, Bing. I'll buy them because one time I'll play them. I haven't played drums in a long time, which makes me sad because I fucking love playing drums and real drums and Rock Band drums. But because my kid, like, so the last night, because the first thing my kid was like, oh, what's that? And starts pressing the buttons on the lower part of the neck. I'm like, is that it?
Kids.
Looking forward to it. So then I had to bring out my old other guitar to give him so he could play with me. He's just like punching the thing. But man, I love Rock Band. Like, it's just so cool. I'm going to play most often, I think.
Well, see, what frustrates me with Rock Band, and I know Heathen bringing this up, but all my Rock Band stuff is on Xbox.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, they had the Rock Band Network,
which was
only available on Microsoft at the time. Now, to get that stuff, I needed an American account. I do not know the password to that American account anymore. And do you know how hard it is to recover an account through Microsoft? It's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And I still don't have access.
Ouch.
So I've lost like about $300 worth of DLC to Rock Band because I now have it on PS4. But because of that, I now am missing all my Rock Band 1 songs, all my Rock Band 2 songs, all my Rock Band 3 songs.
Well, because that's like, Green Day Rock Band songs. I forget like how many songs I've got on there because obviously I've got every back catalog one there is, and like, then all the DLC that I've bought in between then and now. Like, it loads. I have like 800 songs. And it's just like, wow, that's That's a lot of songs.
Yeah. And then you're like, what do I want to play? And it takes you 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, and then songs. I just, yeah, because when it's like, I was playing.
And then you play the same 10 songs every time.
Yeah, I was playing the tour and it was like, you know, pick these songs. I'm like, let's pick the songs I like.
Mm.
It's like, almost unnecessary bloat. But, yeah, no, I'm glad to play. Like, it's a real bummer that they didn't pick up again on that second time around when they both went away. Like, Guitar Hero, it made total sense why it died out, because they tried to reinvent the wheel.
Oh, that Guitar Hero Live was horrible.
So, the guitar in premise is cool. Like,
yeah.
As in how it works is cool in premise. But then the whole...
In practice, it's not.
In practice, not fun. And the way they were delivering songs in the game... Busted, absolutely busted, because they had no. Once again, like they, because they, with that reinvention, they disregarded everything that came before it, and that's not cool. We're here. I have so many songs, so much stuff. It's absolutely amazing. The only thing I don't have those because I didn't. I've become a Fleetwood Mac fan now.
Okay.
And I can't go and get the other songs. Like, I have Go Your Own Way, which is an awesome song, but I want, like, Don't Stop, and like, I want all the other songs. And they can't. The only way you can get them is if you had them on PS3. Yeah. Because the license, like, they have the licensing agreement to republish them on PS4, but you cannot buy them again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck all this. I want them. I want them. And there's no way for me to get them. But we talked about games we've been playing for like half an hour.
Yeah, we've done well.
Yeah, we've done well. We've only got like a bit of news to get through. So probably should get this going, eh?
Sounds like a plan.
That's not about what we've been playing, Max. Let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. But once I log into my computer, I tell you and you about what's been happening this week in PlayStation.
Fair bit.
Give me a minute.
Why did you not have this on already?
There it is.
It's a solid state drive.
I think it's an M.2 in here, so I don't know why it's been so bomb. All right, let's have a look. Now, I put this one in here because I knew that you would have the most interest in this, and I thought you'd have something to say. Diablo 4 is coming! Diablo 4 has finally been announced after years of supposed leaks, rumors, and countless speculative posts all over the internet. The action role-playing game was unveiled during BlizzCon 2019's opening ceremony and debuted with the lengthy cinematic trailer that can be found all across the interwebs. The game is currently in development for PS4, but no release date or release window has been given, and it's fully expected that this is to be a cross-gen title between PS4 and PS5. The big question, however, as with everything Blizzard these days, will it have microtransactions? They have been confirmed. During a Twitch stream by Quinn69, who got to sit down and play an early build at BlizzCon, thanks SkillUp for pointing it out, of course, because SkillUp is amazing. Strange content creator, way better than anything that we do. Please go check him out. Him and Layman Gaming, it's a show he does with his brother. Brilliant content. Absolutely brilliant content. The streamer asks about in-game purchases and is told that you'll be able to buy cosmetic items with real money. Blizzard has said that Diablo 4 won't be out for a very long time, as we mentioned, and we could be talking years at this point. So we might see the developer change its stance if fans call out its plans for in-game purchases, and as you perhaps expect for Diablo, paid expansions will be coming. Max.
Look, I'm keen for this. I've been keen. I've been a Diablo fan since OG Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that they obviously... Everyone knew this was coming. There was leaks for the last 3 weeks of art books going up on sale with Diablo 4 artwork and whatnot. We all knew it was coming after last year's BlizzCon when they went, oh, we're making a new Diablo game. It's on mobile. And everyone cracked the shits.
Yeah.
And they knew that they had to give us something. It's interesting that... from what we know, there's only going to be 5 characters at launch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big drop off from both Diablo 3 and Diablo 2's expansion.
Yep.
So obviously they did say there will be paid DLC. I would expect more characters to come out then. It looks a lot darker than it normally does.
Yeah.
Diablo 3 was very cartoony, very... Now it's got some grit.
And in the trailer, the res looks fantastic. Like, the detail and, like, all the environments. That's the benefit of the 2.5D look, is that all those, like, those set pieces can look stunning in detail.
I noticed that we have mounts now, which makes me think that each map area will be a little bit bigger. So it'll help with traversal.
Mm.
So it won't take us as long to get from one side to the other.
So, like, you and I know each other from my wife. That's how, like, I met you.
My wife.
You were friends with my wife. Because she's
a huge fan as well.
She's a huge fan of Diablo. So, yesterday morning, because my wife gives zero fucks about games on the regular time. She just does not yeah, care.
As Paul James just said, they're saying it's PS4. It's clearly not.
Yeah, no chance. Like, my wife gives zero fuck about games. If I ever talk about any game, she's like, I don't care.
And you're like, really?
This morning, yesterday morning,
whisper in her ear.
Yesterday morning, she goes, I hear it. Is there a new Diablo coming? I'm like, yeah. She goes, what do you know about it? Like, so in one moment, she suddenly gave all the shits about games.
Yeah.
That made me chuckle because she's like just suddenly like super motivated into for games.
I'm super not surprised that it's a couple of years out.
Oh yeah, big time.
It's interesting that it's a couple of years out and they're saying that it's gonna be on PS4. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, well, I think if anything, it kind of them. It's they're like not limiting because maybe they can't.
But again, at the same time, with Sony touting that they're going to be anything that's playable on PS4 will be playable on PS5.
That's what I'm saying. Like the backwards compatibility. I guess
it's not really that much of an issue if they design it for PS4.
But it also comes down to has any developer, anything come out going, this is exclusively next generation? Like no. Ubisoft have, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But like no one's really gone, we are making a next gen game.
Yeah.
Apart from like Halo, I guess, because Halo is technically a launch title for Scarlet.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there's no really like just dedicated announced games. Maybe they don't want to make that commitment just yet. Maybe because their backwards compatibility stuff is a bit up in the air, I suppose.
I guess it really depends on how Sony market their cross-platform stuff.
Exactly. And I think
that's cross-generation stuff.
That is where it's going to get most confusing, is how they're going to sell this.
Like,
because
I think obviously, because with let's take for instance PS3's version of Last of Us versus PS4's remastered version of Last of Us. Obviously there is a huge difference. The PS4 version is vastly superior. It is a remaster. They took the time and effort to, you know, do what they needed to do. But what's stopping me from putting my PS4 version of Last of Us 2 in my PS5? Like, do I need to buy another version that's the PS5 version? Or are they going to be like, hey man, we can see that you're actually playing it on a PS5. Would you like these patches to
that's what I'm download, that would ideally
to download all my good stuff?
Because like, I mean, Xbox did that originally with like Forza Horizon 4, a 3 and stuff like that. It was like, hey, are you playing on a 1X?
Yeah.
Cool, here's a patch.
Yeah.
And that made the game like 100 gig or some shit.
Because obviously it would be gross to have to pay for that game a second time just to play it with better graphics.
And this is something they're going to have a lot of difficulty explaining come when they do finally announce all this backwards compatibility stuff, is how do you word that in such a way? And because people, like, without getting that confusion in place, for the average consumer, I mean, like for many of us, it would make sense because we're super deep in that shit.
Because my whole thing at the moment is like, do I trade in my PS4 to buy my PS5? Because if I can play everything that I can play on PS4 on PS5, what do I need my PS4 now?
Yeah.
But if they turn around and say, hey, not everything's going to be like that.
You know, well, they're like, yeah, we'll do the very best we can. Because there was a statement made in some Japanese briefing that kind of implied like, hey, we're looking at trying to get everything. And it's that situation, I think it comes down to like, because even everything on Xbox isn't backwards. Like even the 360, like they've selected what can be played backwards.
Yeah,
and I think that may have to come here, but they maybe didn't want to say it. It's a bit weird, but yeah. So like, obviously, I can't trade my PS4 Pro in because it's fucking purple with a big hunk of crap hanging on top of it. So I can't trade it in. Problem for me, I suppose. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've got two PlayStation 4s in the house, so like, I can probably get rid of one.
Yeah, yes, true. Next one, now I'm sure this is probably more for you than me. Overwatch 2.
Oh,
is real.
It is.
Announced at BlizzCon 2019 as well via a very impressive cinematic trailer. The sequel to one of the world's most popular team-based shooters is adding quite a lot to the overall package. For starters, it's going to have a full story missions as part of a campaign, which is cool for me, and, quote, highly replayable co-op missions where you'll level up your heroes and unlock new abilities and perks. There'll be a new player versus player modes as well. You can briefly overview of everything that was talked about via the gameplay trailer. And Blizzard has confirmed that Overwatch 2 is in development for PS4, but the developer has, quote, no idea when it will actually release. We think you can probably put this down as maybe a cross-gen PS5 title. What do you got to say?
Okay, so we'll start with their cinematic. Blizzard make the best cinematics, and they should really start making movies.
Yeah.
My understanding of this is also that they're updating Overwatch 1 with all the new maps that are coming to Overwatch 2 and its PvP. So it makes it strange that we're buying Overwatch 2 just for PvE.
Huh?
Because it's the same game. They're literally adding, for what we know now, where they're adding one extra character and PvE. Now, from what I read,
why do they make so much? Why do they just?
From what I've read, Overwatch 1 will not be getting the upgraded. Will not be getting any more PvE events.
Okay.
Because they've done them in the past, where you team up and you do
PvE, like the ball game and
yeah. And like for Halloween, they did like, you know, fight some wave shooter thing for bosses and whatnot. But that seems strange to me. So hopefully that's not the case, because otherwise it's really weird to buy a second game.
It is weird. I imagine there is an inflection point where they're like, we are no longer supporting number one.
Someone asked me the other...
Oh, and Paul in the chat says the trailer's probably why they didn't announce last year. It took 12 months.
Well, see, I got asked by a few of my friends. They're like, hey, do you reckon an Overwatch 2 is going to launch? They're going to announce it. And I'm like, it seems strange to announce it now after they've just gone, hey, guys, Overwatch 1's on Switch now. Everyone buy it on Switch now. And now it's like, Overwatch 1 is dead. Sorry, Switch people.
Yeah. See, it's...
So, my hunch was they weren't going to announce it, and then they did. I'm like, damn, I'm wrong.
Well, I remember seeing the rumors one. I was like, why would they? Why would they not just double down like Rocket League and make Overwatch a platform?
Yeah.
And like, just have them continue to release shit on it.
Well, see, I've had this argument for ages, especially with Destiny, for instance.
Yeah.
I really like all the old Destiny 1 stuff. Why can't I do that in Destiny 2? Why can't you just make a Destiny the platform and just keep charging me $100 a year for DLC?
Mm.
Stop making me buy a new game and then lose all my old stuff.
Yeah. 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 It would make so much more sense. I mean, don't get me wrong,
but after 3 years, I'm going to have like a 600 gig game on my console, and that's obviously why they don't do it.
But then you just have two games that are 300. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
You know, I mean that in... It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, Overwatch is cool. It's a great hero shooter. If you're into team-based shooters, it's fun.
But yeah, like
everyone's been screaming for stories because the character stories behind those characters are so good.
Those trailers are brilliant.
They deserve some form of story.
Saying that though, like, does everything that you have on one move to two? Have they discussed this?
Yeah, so they said all your costumes and stuff that you have already on Overwatch 1 will follow you to Overwatch 2. Okay,
well, that's good.
You're not going to completely have to restart and get new skins.
See, that's why, that's one of the big reasons for me, like, needs to be a platform. That's their only reason.
So, because obviously it's tied to your Blizzard account anyway, I guess it's probably easy for them to shift everything across.
True. Actually, that makes total sense, because it doesn't have crossplay yet.
I have no idea.
No,
I honestly haven't played Overwatch 2 I haven't played Overwatch in a very long time.
Yeah, me either. I played it for a little bit at launch. I didn't really dig it, so I bounced. This one's just called The First of Many. Patch 1.02 for WWE 2K20 is now live. The update includes fixes and addresses concerns for the likes of the graphics, the clipping, the hair physics, the hit detection, the aiming, the interactions with objects, and just almost everything. And you'll find around the under typical ring.
I hate to be the guy who wrote their patch notes.
Oh, it's actually not that bad. They're not done yet though, because the update does also fix for on-screen button prompts, character warps, entrances and attires, and the only portion of the game, the online portion of the game, also sees some support with improvements to stability, matchmaking, desyncs, and lag.
So we played this just before we got on.
We did!
Because Ryan wanted to see what the new stuff was like, so...
We jumped into the 2K Originals. We did the Fiend Tower.
Yep, to unlock the Fiend, and then Betson just got, like, demolished by the Undertaker for, like, a good 20 minutes.
Man! Fuck the Undertaker.
But then we're like, oh, you know, we'll make it play itself, and then we picked... probably the two characters that they spent the most time on.
Yeah, so we had Mankind versus the Fiend, because I wanted to see how the game would play with that. And because the Fiend was made for this game, and he's obviously a big product, put a lot of thought into what this character looked like. And then we chose Mankind. Mankind was a paid DLC in this game, so I think they would have put time into it. We kind of really fucked up there. But I do wonder how much patching will do.
Yeah.
Because like I think there are some bone problems with this game. I guess, and just like on the foundation level, but they can try add to it as the best they can. They've admitted themselves that more patches are to come. I've heard one account on Twitter of the game just crashing, like anytime you do some creator stuff, creator wrestler, it just dies in the bum. I was hoping to go back into the campaign and see whether that's been changed, because that looks so bad.
I hope they get it fixed. Like it's rough on a team when they have to release a product that they know. Is not finished.
The difficulty is,
and it's I think it's going to taint that studio for a very long time.
Oh, big time.
And it's probably not their fault.
Now, I've come to learn recently that I was under the impression that Visual Concepts were just this auxiliary team that were just kind of brought in to do some side stuff. Visual Concepts being a 2K studio, they had like a heavy involvement in NBA.
Yeah.
So like these guys aren't no ones. That's why it's so baffling that they've been delivered such a subpar experience.
It just depends on the timing that they took over. Yeah, if they had 6 months to make a game that they normally get 12 months for.
Mm. Well, they work on an average 9 to 10 month cycle.
Yeah.
So that's the other concern as well. I'm sure I talked about this last week. With them having such a strict schedule, do they even have time to go back and work on 20 when they should be working on 21? Like, because, you know, they normally have like a month and a half off.
Yeah.
Because they've worked nonstop for, you know, like stupid hours for 9 months. So they get their break and then they come back. So if anything, they're going to lose their break and keep working.
Yeah.
Which is concerning.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of pressure on them this year to make sure that the next year's iteration is perfect.
Yeah, and they're not going to stop and skip a year or anything. Even though, as we mentioned last week,
well, that's the issue with annualization of games.
Yeah, like, big time. So EA, I mean, we talked about EA in the past dropping NBA. They dropped it again this year.
Yeah,
no, we're working on it. We'll do something better. I'm like, damn EA, damn.
But like, take Ubisoft for example. When they went, you know what? We're not going to release it in Assassin's Creed this year. We're gonna take a year off. And they nailed it when they came back.
Yeah, but then they changed it.
And they also went back to
annual releases. Went back to annual releases. We don't have one this year, which is cool. Yeah.
Which is great because it took like 100 hours to beat Odyssey.
This one's fun. This next bit is just fun.
Okay.
Blue Point Games. Most recently, they've done the Uncharted remake. They did Shadow of Colossus remake. We know they're working on something. We don't know what it is.
Oh, they're the guys that do like the best
remakes. They do the best remakes. We don't know what it is, but it is heavily speculated to be the Demon's Souls remake.
Oh.
However, of course, nothing yet is confirmed. So to celebrate Halloween, the developers composed a tweet which somehow managed to reference at least 7 PlayStation franchises.
Oh, of course I did.
Here is the tweet.
What jerks.
So calm this spooky night. A symphony of rumors, not one, but two, return from Shadow. A resistance to dart home as black monsters escape twisted hills to wonderlands and siphon souls. Filter your candy collections soft from solid and be eco-friendly. Have a metal Halloween.
What assholes.
They referenced Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Demon Souls, Metal Gear Solid, Resistance, Siphon Filter, Legend of Dragoon, and Twisted Metal. Fuck you, Blue Point Games. Oh my god, because like, for me, obviously, like Siphon Filter is a huge one for me. Metal Gear is a huge one for me. I'd love to see a redone of Symphony. I'd love to see Resistance redone so I can actually play it for the first time. Josh would piss his pants at Dragoon. So, like, they've just collectively bought, because these are all the things they've been rumored to be working on.
I've heard the Demon's Souls rumor for years.
And same as Paul. Paul says, yeah, Legend of Dragoon or Resistance, please.
Well, I'm a Legend of Dragoon or Demon's Souls, please.
Yeah. So I just want to put that in because that's fucking genius.
Yeah.
Absolutely genius. Well,
and then they come out and we're like, we're doing them all.
Yeah. It's like,
for the next 7 years.
Well, because the big two were Metal Gear and Demon's Souls were the big ones. Well,
the issue now is, I mean, you can
big rumor mill, I mean.
You can still play Demon's Souls, but the servers have been shut down.
Yes.
So there is no more online.
Yeah.
Which is a real bummer because...
Yes, this is why I think Metal Gear would be a better one because, like, that game is kind of tough to play now. Because, yeah, A, it's locked on PS1. It doesn't age very well. Like, 2 and 3 can still play on your Xbox backwards, you know, backpat.
But do you think they would outsource Metal Gear? You don't reckon they'd keep it in-house to do it themselves?
Konami don't care.
Yeah, no, true. Konami don't care.
Konami is sitting on, like, big properties they just don't care about. But yeah, this next one. It's your fault, Max.
Yeah, probably.
It's your fault. Ghost Recon Breakpoint was met with a lot of criticism when it launched last month, with one of the biggest complaints being that its microtransaction store was just out of control. The game lets players buy hundreds of different items with real money, making for a marketplace that just seems completely tone deaf, especially in the current climate. However, Ubisoft says that it had a reason for implementing such a store to begin with. During the publisher's most recent financial call, in which Ubisoft basically called Breakpoint a disappointment, bing, the company cited the success of the microtransactions in Ghost Recon Wildlands, Breakpoint's predecessor. According to Ubisoft, in-game purchases were quite popular in the Bolivia-based open-world shooter, so it was decided to include them into Breakpoint. Quote, "We understand it has been seen as too big a store, and that is really not appreciated at all. But it came from the fact that, players were spending time in the store and buying things in Wildlands, and our teams thought they could give them the opportunity to have more choice. Which has not been well interpreted, that was the goal," says Yves Guillemot. "The thing is, Wildlands microtransactions were only expanded upon and properly explored later in the game's life, whereas Breakpoint's been pushing them from day one. And it's easy to argue the latter story is much more aggressive, but having Ubisoft bring it up is impressive, especially with the backlash, seeing as microtransactions do make a lot of money for devs."
Yeah.
"And publishers. It's your fault, Max." See, they're like, "Oh, no, no, we did it because you guys were buying them. Like, we had no intention to rot everyone."
I think the issue is, though, like, the main issue is Wildlands was far superior to what Breakpoint is at launch.
Because these thoughts were secondary.
Wildlands still had issues at launch, but not as much as Breakpoint. And people don't mind spending money on a game if they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
But when your game is bad and people aren't enjoying it and you're just like, please spend money.
Here's money to make it better.
Yeah.
And this thing, because, Wildlands, although it had a rickety start, like, they supported it without spending money. Obviously, they had the DLCs and stuff, like, as in their expansions, and they were brilliant. But the foundations of the game were so good. People were like, I want more in this game. Let me buy more for this game. And then they've read into this the wrong way. There was like, people are willing to spend money. How can we make them spend more money? Rather than understanding that people are willing to spend money on a game they're liking, as you said. And it's just a complete misinterpretation of everything.
Oh, that happens, though.
It's like, it just shows the... It shows their perspective, their disconnect with the common consensus, as well as just being, as I said, tone deaf. Just like looking at it and be like, for some, it all comes how they look into a conversation, right? Mm. As in, like, you and I could be looking at the same thing and we see different perspectives.
Yeah,
like somebody, like, people are enjoying that game, they want to spend money, and they just see people are spending money to enjoy the game.
Yeah,
same thing, just reversed it. And I think that's where they've come from.
Mm.
Like, the higher ups have looked at it and been like, they want to spend money. Let's allow them. Let's make them spend money. Like, you know.
Let's give them the options to spend money. Yeah. The more things they have to buy, the more things they will buy.
Yeah.
The more
money. Because history has shown, like, patterns.
Yeah.
You know. Fuck them. See,
and all their games have been delayed now too.
Yes, that's part of that. So yeah, there's a little bit of that. We talked about that a bit last week, but there's a little bit ahead. Yes, so that is one of the things. Well, everything's been moved. Obviously, rejigger because they're like pump Watch Dogs microtransactions. Boo! Fuck! All right, the entire game's based around those microtransactions. All right, rebuild. And that's the only reason I can think.
Yeah. Well, some of them were coming out in that February time slot back when Last of Us was coming out then.
Yeah.
And I think it was Paul that brought it up last week that instead of now having February to May, we now have end of March to May, and it's worse.
Yeah, big time. The problem that I'm having is I like Ubisoft games.
I like some Ubisoft games.
And the conflict here is I wanted Breakpoint to be good. Because I enjoyed Wildlands so much, and I loved The Division 2. I loved The Division 2 so much, maybe so much that I might buy that statue for a good cause.
So it's funny, because I really enjoyed Division 1.
Mm.
I hated Division 2.
Why?
I never got around to finishing it. I did not enjoy it at all whatsoever. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It just didn't gel with me the second time.
Interesting.
Wildlands, I liked to begin with. And then
all your friends dropped off.
And then I kind of grew out of it. and I kind of wanted to like break point because we were all like, oh, we're all going to get into it again. And I think it's not the game so much I like, it's the time that I spend with the friends.
Yeah.
And the fun that I have in the game with the friends. Like, we had a good time playing the Breakpoint beta, despite the fact that it was riddled with issues. I had fun because I was playing with you.
Yeah. Did you end up picking it up?
No.
No.
For good reason.
Yeah. Well, because we got review codes, so I still have it on my PS4. It still opens till the day. Like, same as Wildlands. Wildlands stayed on my PS4 for a very long time because every time I'd hear about an update, I'd go in, I'd check it out again.
Yeah.
And every time I got better and better.
Yeah.
And, like, I hope Breakpoint is the same because I do want there to be a point because, like, I do love that stealthy gameplay.
Yeah.
And that just fucking around with your friends. And, like, in the same way of, you know, bullshitting with your friends, but then going, all right, we're going to do this. I'm gonna go over here. I'm on this, and then you go, then you draw them out over here, and then like that part is fun. Like that tactical conversation with your friends is awesome. Not in the same way that those trailers did it back in the day. Like, you know, oh, six over here. Like, no one talks like that. But like, just the idea of like, oi prick, you're around.
I mean, it's fun doing like it's the crazy stuff. It's fun. It's like, hey man, do you reckon you can drive this car if I strap it with C4, and then you just tell me when you're in position, I'll blow it up.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so that's the comfort that I'm having, because I really, because, you know, as Dash will call me, you know, Ryan Ubisoft Betson or Ryan Bethesda Betson, and like the difficulty that has, like, Bethesda sucks balls right now, and Ubisoft is sucking balls right now.
I'm assuming the Bethesda stuff's in the news.
We talked about it last week.
No, about the ACCC saying
we
all deserve refunds on our copies of
Fallout 76. Yeah, can you add some more? I forgot to grab it. You talk about it while I pull up.
So I think it was a couple of days now that the Australian Consumer Compliance, whatever,
So the ACCC, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission.
Yeah. So I think it's only for people who have applied for refunds between two certain dates.
Oh, here we go. So that
and they were originally denied because Sony and a lot of people don't do refunds. The ACCC came in and went, no, if they ask for one, they deserve it.
The ACCC, because the ACCC has a very strong refund policy.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. The ACCC has accepted a court-enforceable undertaking from the three related video game companies after they acknowledged that they were likely to have misled consumers about their consumer guarantee rights in relation to the online action game Fallout 76. The companies ZeniMax Media Incorporated, ZeniMax Media Europe Limited, and ZeniMax Australia Proprietary Limited, together under ZeniMax, accepted that their actions were likely to have contravened the Australian Consumer Law, the ACL. The ACCC reviewed complaints that ZeniMax representative told consumers that they were not entitled to a refund after they'd experienced a variety of faults with the Fallout 76 game, including, in some cases, problem with the servers, lagging, graphic, and visual problems. Quote, ZeniMax has acknowledged that they are likely to have misled certain Australian consumers about their rights to a refund when they experience faults with their Fallout 76 game, the ACCC Commissioner Sarah Court said. What a fucking name, Sarah Court. ZeniMax will offer to provide refunds to consumers who contact them between the 24th of November 2018 and the 1st of June 2019, within the first 6 months of release, to request a refund and have not already received one. Consumers who accept a refund will no longer be entitled to access and play the game.
Yeah, so they'll like revoke the license key if you bought it digitally.
In the irony, though, like you get your money back and you go play it anyway. Remember that, can they bar the account? When a consumer buys a product, it comes with automatic consumer guarantees, and retailers must ensure their refunds and return policies do not represent what the Australian Consumer Law provides, Mr. Court says. And ZeniMax has also undertaken to amend its consumer service documents and scripts to address AAA's concerns about misinterpretation of the consumer guarantee rights under the ACL. Therefore, they're rewriting their guidelines to say, well, you do not get refunds.
Yeah.
In stronger terms is what they're probably going to do.
The Australian consumer law people are like super, like, everyone deserves a refund. Screw you guys.
Yeah. Unless these very specific circumstances, everyone gets it.
Yeah. Because I tried to get one for Anthem and Sony's like, psh, get lost. I'm like, the game literally doesn't work. Like, it literally doesn't load. They're like, nah, you played it. Sorry. You downloaded it. Your fault. You own it now. Yeah. So it's just sitting there.
All right, we'll quickly run through the last couple here because we have hit the hour mark already, which is impressive. Surprise! Call of Duty is doing well.
Yep.
Again, Call of Duty Modern Warfare has earned more than $600 million worldwide and has broken multiple sales records in its first 3 years of release. 3 days of release, sorry. Announced by Activision, Call of Duty Modern Warfare's impressive first three days has earned it the following records. It's become the top-selling new premium game release of 2019. It has sold more units than its first 3 days than any other Call of Duty title this console generation. It has the biggest-selling digital opening in Activision history. It set a PlayStation 4 record with the highest digital sales in the first 3 days. Everyone's buying digitally, which is cool. It is the biggest Call of Duty PC launch ever. Through the first 3 days, Modern Warfare has more total players and more total hours played than any Call of Duty opening release in the last 6 years. More importantly, our players are having a great time playing, says Rob Kostick, president of Activision.
Yes. Super successful and a pissed off Russia.
Yeah! Woo! Double win. None of this is a surprise.
No.
Call of Duty fucking goes well every year.
Yep.
Like,
it doesn't matter what they do, it still sells like gangbusters.
They could literally just make a game where it's just them giving you the finger or them just like snogging your mum. And like, people will still buy it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's bizarre. I just put that in because it's like, this is why I love statistics. I don't like doing them, but I like interpreting them. Because like, Notice how they're very strict in their criteria.
Yeah, because we were having this chat before we started. I was mentioning that Black Ops 2, for instance, did 50 million less than Call of Duty Modern Warfare that just released, but it was in a single day, not 3 days.
Yes.
So they just completely
admitted. That's where they've gone. This console generation, it's like the same thing. Like we. If we wanted to, we can get away by saying we are one of the top PlayStation podcasts made in Australia. You can't prove me wrong because there's enough caveats on that to be like, yeah, it's possible. There's three of us, top three, that I'm in there. Like, if I said we're one of the top PlayStation podcasts, we'd be wrong. We'd be lying. But add enough stack to it and it makes possible. Like, same here. You know, add enough shit to it and it sounds impressive.
Yeah.
Right? That's how it works. The PS Plus games for November have been announced.
So keen.
Neo.
Yeah.
And Outlast 2. Both if you go back into our Let's Plays, we have a Let's Play for both of them, actually.
Oh, and Neo 2 Open Beta is currently running this weekend.
Oh, shit, really?
Yep.
Cool. That got a release date, too. It's like next year sometime.
Yep. I still haven't downloaded it yet.
When's the release date?
I have no idea. I know it's soon. I think it's early.
So why are you excited?
It's more Souls-esque style games. Love them.
Kind of why I did see an article on March 2020. It's why just add more to March.
It's why I'm kind of keen for Star Wars, and at the same time, don't want to buy Star Wars because Star Wars.
That's the conflict I'm having. Like, I'd love to play Star Wars because Star Wars is cool. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot going on. Quick bits. I'm just kind of tear through these because I've got a couple. Chad Robertson, head of live services at BioWare and one of the key people behind Anthem, has also resigned. Just losing people left and right at Anthem. That game is done.
Which is a real shame.
SingStar servers to shut down on 31st of January 2020.
Good.
For those that play SingStar, sucks for you. The PS4 is now the second highest selling console with $102.8 million consoles sold, beating the PS1's $102.5 million.
Yeah.
However, will it reach PS2's $155 million? Not within the next year.
Keeping in mind that they've only put home consoles in this list because the DS is
handheld's just monster. Once again, statistics. You play with the wording and statistics, and bam. Sony confirmed intention to acquire more studios and quote, continue to pursue growth investment opportunities to enhance content IP. No surprises there. Who would that'd be a great topic of like who they should buy? But I didn't have enough time today to think about that, so I didn't.
Microsoft's already stolen all the good ones.
Well, there are some out there, but like some of them are like so strongly third party that there's no way.
Of them are such big indies like. City Project Red.
Somewhat, you know, like even like From Software or something.
Yeah.
Like there's no chance From Software would sell. So there's no chance City Project Red would sell. Sony has trademarked PS6 through to PS10. It's PS6, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Just security.
Which means nothing yet.
Means nothing. It's just them going, like no one else can come in there.
Saying that we're going to have another four lots of PlayStations coming out. It's just that just in case.
Yeah, it's smart move.
Yeah.
Especially with Fallout last week, FalloutFirst.com being taken by some dude. It has been confirmed that all upcoming Ubisoft releases, which were delayed, will be now cross-gen with PS4 and PS5.
Makes sense.
Mate, yeah, because
they're pushing them closer to the...
They've all been moved into the next fiscal year, which is April 2020 to March 2021. Mm-hmm. So if anything does come within that window, they're going to work over both. And by the ambition of like Legion, with all the... Every character is playable, they're going to need the power of PS5 to make that come together. And this one's a bit more salesy. There is a double discount sale on the PSN right now. There's some cool games up for like 70% off and shit.
Yep.
Nothing in there jumped out to me specifically, but for some, that would be exciting. But that's enough about, after all that, that's enough about the news, Max. Let's have a chat to the players about Death Stranding reviews. So,
can we start with the quote that I sent you the other night?
Yeah, I don't know where it is. I think it's on Facebook. So last Friday, the embargo did drop for the Death Stranding reviews, and as to be expected, they are kind of all over the board. However, it is rating well.
Yeah, so generally anyone who's giving it a score, it's what, sevens and
up. I have pulled up the Metacritic here. Let's see, critic reviews. So according to Metacritic, there are 74 critics that have registered and that have nominated. It's currently sitting at 84, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
With 62 positive, 11 mixed, and 1 negative. And that 1 negative is an Australian. Survivor, Stevia. I don't like him personally. So,
yeah, right. Fair enough.
But this is the quote that you've pulled from the Kotaku review, Death Stranding is also about throwing grenades made from your own piss and shit at ghosts.
Like,
game of the year.
Game of the year. Yeah, so the general consensus of the reviews I've seen are all, the game will be very divisive, you'll either like it or you won't, and it takes time to get good.
Yeah, so like I do question a lot of these hundreds or 10 out of 10s, because there is a lot of them. There's like 8 of them, and I do think a lot of people probably got caught up in the hype. I'm not dismissing them. Fuck you, Steve, you bellend, says Paul. Yeah. I already read it out, too late.
don't read that out.
there is part of me that's like, is it though?
It's hard. However, hard when it's someone's personal interpretation and their.
Which is what reviews are, and I can't argue that, because like when we review stuff on here, it's our like subjective opinion on it.
Yeah,
which is fine.
I think the main issue is, a lot of people have said it's something that they haven't seen before, but the issue I find is when a game takes that long to get good.
Oh yeah, because like, part of it, 10 hours.
It's like someone saying, "Oh man, you should watch this TV series," but like it's not good until halfway through season 2.
Yeah, or until like anytime I hear like there's a reason I don't play JRPGs. Like, oh, it gets good after 30 hours. I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah, I remember when you started playing Persona, and you're just like, it gets good after like 30 hours.
Like, fuck on, all on. That. Like, I don't have time.
I have to play 30 hours of shit.
I want to finish my game in 30 hours. I don't have time. I do think a lot of the scores around. Like, once again, we haven't played it.
Yeah.
So it's up in the air. But I'm like, I think it would make more sense for it to be within that 8 to 9 area. Yeah. I'm always iffy on 10s, at least initially.
I mean, is anything ever really a perfect 10 out of 10?
Well, it depends on how you define 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, something can be 10 out of 10 and not have and have some flaws. Like, I reviewed God of War as a perfect game, but there's flaws. But how it delivers everything is beautiful.
Yeah.
So I'm not on the party of a 10 out of 10 means an incredibly perfect game.
Yep.
I do think the idea of like a negative, so the big negative is a 35. So it's 35 out of 100. 3.5 out of 10. In order to something to be a 3.5 out of 10, that game must be unplayable.
I mean, even WWE
2K20. Yeah, even WWE 2K20 is not a 3.5. So that's where I think that is wrong.
Yeah.
Granted, everyone's valid with their own opinion, but as a reviewer, I don't think there is any critique in that.
Yeah.
I haven't read
That's why using a number system is so...
That's why we don't use it.
Bogus.
We don't use it. But yeah, so like I've spoken to PlayStation. We maybe get it the day before release or the day of release, which is fine. So we'll probably have some stuff maybe next week.
Yep.
Because you're still picking it up, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to pre-order it once I leave here. I've been keen on this game for a while now. I think it's going to be an interesting play. I think it's going to be a very...
Can you please?
I think it's going to be a very artistic game. And I think that's what's going to make a lot of people... I think that's what's going to be the divisive factor in this game is it's a piece of art, but is it fun to play? And if a game's not fun to play, a lot of people aren't going to enjoy it.
Mm. I'm just having a look if they reviewed WWE.
No, you're right. I'll keep chatting away. Obviously, Kojima's name will bring a lot of people to the board to even just look at it and give it a go. And I think that...
I don't think they reviewed it because they recently made this decision because their heads are so far up their own assholes. They're like, unless we get it pre-released, we ain't reviewing it. And because codes for the game didn't drop until day of, because they knew the game was broken, they probably didn't touch it. The issue that I'm having is... I've vocally mentioned before how I've always thought I was a Kojima fan, but I think I might be more of a Metal Gear fan. And this is proving it. Like, from what I'm hearing here, I'm like, oh... But I think I just really enjoyed what was being spoken about, what the topics were in Metal Gear in terms of the Ola, you know, this big grandiose story, right? Yeah. And like the military shit and also the weird stuff. I think that's what I really loved.
Well, that's what I'm going into this game for, the weird, the Kojima weird.
But I do wonder what the level of weird that I can tolerate is, because like, so for context, I don't know if this is public information, but for Player 2, like, they were able to secure a review because the person who wrote the review was a freelancer for another energy drink company. And then in this game, the game is so littered with Monster energy drink promotion that they could not publish it.
Okay.
So like, in terms of the weirdness, I'm unsure, because that's in there. There's constant advertisements for Norman Reedus' show, and these sound like immersion breaking shit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
And like, Conan O'Brien's in the game. Yeah. Like, there's weird, and then there's like self-masturbatory stuff. And I'm wondering where this will go into that line, personally. I'm still going to play it, because, you know, obviously being a PlayStation show, it's within our best interest to play it. So I'm going in with an open mind, yet I have my concerns.
What's your thoughts on it now that it's officially not a PlayStation exclusive? Because it's coming to PC.
Fine. They've said it for a long time. They've said that it would be happening.
Because Sony footed the bill for this, didn't they? They just said, here you go.
Yeah, they essentially gave them a blank check, and they will get residuals on the PC sales, which is fine. But because they are a second party, like, they're not a first party studio, they can do this. And I will admit, I was wrong. When I remember hearing that, I'm like, that can't be right. Whenever they said it a couple of years ago, I'm like, that's fucked. Why would they do that? Because Sony's footing the bill.
Yeah.
But I guess times have changed since then. Like, cross-play is more prevalent than ever.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I was just kind of locked in that mindset of like, why would they do that?
I was the same. I'm like, they're paying the bill. Why would they let it go elsewhere?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's fine. I'm not too fazed. I'm not gonna get all antsy about it, because who fucking cares?
Yeah.
If more people play it, sweet.
I super really wish I pre-ordered one of those baby editions. I really want one of those.
I do. I couldn't justify the price.
Yeah.
I would look great on here. It really would. But
the other thing is, I just wish they put a smaller version in the controller that they, the Death Stranding controller that they bought out. I'm like, why isn't there a little baby in like one of the hand grips?
That'd be amazing.
That would have been good.
Yeah. So obviously the reviews have swayed you.
I was going to pick it up regardless, because I want to make my own opinion. There are a few reviews of people that I follow closely that have tickled my fancy.
Mm-hmm. Who are they for? Just for
Jeff Cannata, for one, does DLC. Yep.
So it's worth shouting out who you, as in like, yeah. If someone's done good stuff, it's good to shout out.
And the girls from Kind of Funny Games. What's Good Games?
Yep.
So Andrea, Renee, and all them.
Yep.
They've been playing it. Then everyone's saying the same thing. Very artistic game. Takes a little while to get into it, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Which kind of makes me wonder, like, with this 35, like, do they play more than 4 hours?
Yeah. So...
See, because I'm the opposite. I've not I've looked at scores just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
But I have not read anything. I've not watched anything. I've not watched any trailers for the longest time. Now, I've not watched any of the gameplay demos or anything. Now, saying that though, like that big 2 hour gameplay at TGS, you know, from all accounts, literally showed what the game is.
Yeah.
So anyone that's baffled by the gameplay, and like, I'll admit, like our good friends over at Explosion Network and Platinum Explosion, you know, they've talked about this, like, this gameplay is what it's going to be. And that's where I heard it, because I didn't watch it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to watch 2 hours of gameplay of a game that I'm going to play.
Yeah. So well, I didn't watch the gameplay, because I knew at that point I was already in.
Yeah, so I just heard what they had to say, and I listened to them. I'm like, okay, cool, that's fine. So, like, I'm in no surprise with what they're saying here. And, like, it sounds like a bunch of that Kojima wank that's going to be in there. So if you like that wank, then sweet. Yeah, I don't know. It's won me over in some ways, because as you you listen to the show when you're not on it, so you know, like, Josh and I have said many things against it because we were kind of burnt out by all the overexposure the game was receiving.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I'm now going, I was going to play it anyway, but now I'm like, no, I need to see what it is.
Well, see, my original thoughts was it will review well, but it won't be a game of the year contender, because it'll be too niche.
Interesting.
It might win like best art or something like that, best art direction or something like that, but I don't know if it'll...
That's a cool way to look at it. It's a very cool way to look at
it. Yeah. Like, it's a game that everyone's been talking about for years, but I don't think it's going to be that kind of game.
Fascinating. That's a really cool way to
look at it.
That's
just my opinion. I could, in like 3 months' time, I could turn around and be like, I was wrong.
See, the issue that I'm at, this is where I love.
Especially with this year, because this year has been such a weird year for games, because last year we had banger after banger. And this year has been quite slow.
Yeah.
Like, personally, for me, at the moment, my game of the year is Control.
Yeah, Control's dope.
And nothing has topped that yet. I think Resident Evil 2 will win it.
Yeah, Resi 2 is on my list. Yeah.
I think Resi 2 will win it, but it'll be a hard pick.
The fun for me is I love feeling justified because one of the things that Josh and I talked about very early on was the situation of people will be like, if you don't understand Death Stranding, you are just not smart enough to understand his genius.
Yeah.
The internet has been full of that the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
People haven't even played it. They're like, oh, you just don't get it. It's like Rick and Morty all over again. I'm like, Rick and Morty fucking blows. It doesn't blow. I just don't watch it because of those people. Like, I watched the first like 6 episodes. I'm like, I don't get it. I'm sure it gets better.
Did you see Rick and Morty were on AEW?
Yeah, it was awesome. But I mean that as in like, and it's just that fan base of like, oh man, you know, he's just so fucking intellectual and artistic. And
well, that's the thing. That's the
up his bum hole.
That's the other side of the argument. It's like, were the Metal Gear games good because Konami kept him in check? Like,
that is a concern.
Like, is the fact that he is now completely free, can he keep himself in check? Like, is it going to be a coherent enough story?
See, this is one of those things, like, that really good art comes from restriction. Like, when you're stuck within the confines of something, really cool shit happens.
Yeah.
Like, when you have complete freedom, your mind can wander and you're not pushed by limits. So, like, you'll get really tunnel vision on something unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Where, you know, when you're like, and you hit that barrier, like, fuck, how do we adapt around this barrier? And you're not thinking of new creative ways to get around it. Like, I'm unsure. Let us know Those of you at home, have you been checking out the Death Stranding reviews? What are your thoughts on it? Do you think it is a bunch of wank? Do you think that it's going to be awesome? Have the reviews swayed you in either direction?
Are you just buying this game to try and see Norman Reedus' wank?
Yes.
When he pees.
That is correct. That is goal number one. The first thing I do when the game starts, I'm just going to piss.
If there's no trophy for it, like...
Good point. Oh, apparently the last end of the game is an hour's worth of cutscene.
He just needs to make movies. He's got all these friends that are just movie stars. And like, if you follow Kojima on Twitter, he lives life like he's a rock star.
But yeah, let us know what you think. Comments below, that sort of stuff. But actually, I can't even say because Death Stranding's far away. It's not. It's this week. If for any reason there's a game that you want to play this week that isn't Death Stranding, these are the list of the games that are coming to you this week in a section we call Coming to the Players. So this is the new PlayStation Games for November 5th, 2019. Number one, As Divine Kimura, PS4 Digital. Audica, A-U-D-I-C-A, Audica.
I would say Audica.
Audica's probably better. Audica is a VR rhythm shooter game from Harmonix. Harmonix
game, yeah.
The makers of Rock Band and Dance Central, armed with a pair of rhythm blasters, shoot and smash targets to the beat of a soundtrack that features songs from some of the world's most popular artists.
Yeah, it's Beat Saber with guns. Have you not seen this before? Dude, it's Beat Saber with guns, but you can also like punch the targets with the gun. It looks so good.
All right. Can that be a stream next Thursday?
Is it actually coming out?
Yeah, it comes PSVR Digital this week.
I did not realize it was coming to PlayStation. I thought it was a Oculus exclusive. Ooh, looks like I'm getting my VR out again.
Yeah, well, I just bought a new camera. So I've got the old square shitty camera in here and I bought the...
Just in time for summer.
I sniped someone on eBay for the cylindrical one. Because I was like, some guy...
I got a cylindrical one.
He misspelled it wrong on the eBay, like in his title. So obviously, it's like really horrible search results. And it was like $25. And I was like, and no one's been on it. I'm like, it ends up like an hour. I'm like...
Yeah, I'll come and play that if we get it.
Because I'm like, I'm not going to pay. Because I looked at it. I'm like, because it balances like asshole on here. Because it's a big square thing on this on the frame of the TV here, the bezel. So I was like, well... One of the big reasons I don't move my VR around is because the camera, because trying to get behind the TV is just stupid. But this solves the problem. So I hope I can do some more VR stuff. Conception Plus, what? Maidens of the 12 Stars. I've got
to
read this.
You have to read that.
The baby boom is back as this Starfield RPG is reborn. Itsuki Yuge, Yuge?
Yeah.
So, sure. Is summoned to the magical world of Granvania to save it from evil impurities. As the savior from another world known as God's Gift, Itsuki and his star children, born between him and the 12 star maidens, are the only ones capable of banishing these impurities. So, you gotta have all these babies with these 12 maidens.
Banging the maidens.
Bang all the maidens.
Yeah.
Death Stranding, PS4 Digital and Retail, out on the 8th. Legendary game creator Hideo Kojima comes in an all-new genre-defining experience. Sam Bridges must brave a world utterly transformed by the Death Stranding. Carrying the disconnected remnants of our future in his hands, he embarks on a journey to reconnect the shattered world one step at a time. Destiny Connect, TikTok Travelers, PS4 Digital, Football Game, PS4, PS Vita Digital Crossbuy.
I just want to point out that the picture is just two people sitting on a car.
Yeah, with some freaky ass eyes in the background. Jumanji, the video game, PS4 Digital Retail, out on the 8th. It's going to do well on the same day as Kojima, just saying. Just Dance 2020, PS4 Digital Retail. Light Fairy Tale, Episode 1, not your fairy tale.
Yeah.
Sorry, do we get hopes up? PS4 Digital. Lithium Inmate 39 Relapsed Edition, PS4 Digital. Mechanica, PS4 Digital, out on the 7th. Need for Speed Heat, Digital and Retail on the 8th of November. Yeah, man. Hustle by day and risk it all at night in Need for Speed Heat, a thrilling race experience that pits you against the city's rogue police force as you battle to your way into street racing's elite.
Bold move to release a game with no advertisement on the same day as Death Stranding.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to play it. I'm waiting for reviews.
Yeah.
Just because I want to see how microtransaction it is, because apparently the other one's butthole. Yeah. But I haven't played a good racing game in a while.
I haven't played a good Need for Speed game in a while.
Sick burn. Police Chase, out digitally 8th of November. I'm pretty sure this is already out in Australia. I just wrote in the store yesterday. Stay Cool, Kobayashi-san, a River City Ransom story. Out digital on the 8th. Valfaris, PS4 Digital. That's it.
So obviously Death Stranding's your big one.
Yeah, Death Stranding, Need for Speed. It's probably about back two in it.
Jumanji. If you're a VR person, Audica's.
Yeah, look, well, I'll probably give Audica a go. Audica sounds cool. Just because
you have me a beat set
with guns. I like harmonics. I just had a big chat about how I've been playing Rock Band again. So, any reason to dust off my VR is also a win.
Yeah,
because like it's sitting down there on the ground. I didn't even put it back in its box. I'm like, fuck it, it's just sitting there.
Mine stays out permanently, not that it gets used.
I need like a display for it, like a head to sit it on. That's
well, my main issue with my PSVR at the moment is I need to have internet access to play my PSVR games because I content share. So I don't get Wi-Fi down in the lounge room, which is where my VR is set up.
Oh no.
So I have to run a 30-meter LAN cable down the other end of my house, and it's a real pain in the ass.
When I lived with Millie's parents, so my wife's parents, I had the same thing. Where, because they, the back room of the house was like this storage room, and they had a little desk in there, so I set up my computer and my consoles and stuff like that in there. Yeah, and I had to literally just run this big cable from like the kitchen all the way down. Because
you've been in my games room. There is not enough room
to swing. Fuck no. There's not enough room for two people to sit in that room.
Well, there is now. There's a big futon in it. But that takes up my VR space.
It was like swinging around about. Yeah, you had to bring it through the window, didn't you?
Yes, I had to bring the futon in through the window because we have a friggin' T intersection at the end of our hallway.
But anyways, that does bring us to the end of this episode of For The Players. Thank you once again, Max, for coming in. I don't know when Josh is coming back, so back, you want to come back next week?
Yeah, I'll talk. I can talk to Death Stranding next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'll talk to Josh and see if he's keen to come party. Even if he does come back, we'll do a three-way.
Yeah.
Hot.
I'll sit on Josh's lap.
Triple threat PlayStation chats.
Hopefully it's not too hot.
Hopefully it is. It's going to be hot if there's three of us. Oh, yeah. This PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to join that PlayStation conversation, head over to the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist, or the Rarus on Twitter or Discord. Links are in the description below. We are, what's the next part? If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Support us at any dollar value. Get yourself a nice little sneaky link where you can watch us record this show live. It's very, very cool. And you can also watch our other show, The Young and the Wrestlers, the Pop Culture's WWE podcast. A lot of fun to talk about this week with Crown Jewel and NXT invading SmackDown. Some cool stuff this week. Crown Jewel secondary, but NXT.
Just want to shout out, I love the new intro.
The Kofi Kingston. Love
the new intro. It's so good.
Shout out to Kofi, man. I trimmed out the old kind of like the more soap opera part. To just have Kofi and then straight into it. We get more people, ideally we're going to, you know, talk to more superstars at some point and kind of crop them in there. So have just this big opener of names. It'd be very cool. But yes, and we are also at Twitch, twitch.tv/thepopculturist. Not sure what we're going to stream this week. Potentially Audica, if it's not too much. Yep. I don't know what the dollar redo in that game is going to be. And what songs are on there too. Because it's like, well, the most popular artists, but we won't name them.
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting because it's a harmonics game. Do you reckon if they own a license for their music, can they put their licensed music in any of their games? Or do they license it specifically for a title?
For use within harmonics games? I don't know.
I also don't know. Because if that's the case, we could get like the whole of like Guitar Hero lists.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, you have access to, like, we noticed that you have Rock Band. We made Rock Band. Just import all your Rock Band songs? I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Like 800 songs later. But yes, we may stream that on Thursday. Who knows? But hopefully we do get back into streaming the regular. We do apologize if anyone has been disappointed. Like all five of you that come to the streams. So that's all about fine by me. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For The Players. Very extended For The Players.
That was a long episode.
It was a long episode. It was very good. See ya.
I kept piling on in the news.
For The Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fan supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, AJ Abatomi
Damien Holdies, Kyle Dunn, Lee Winterchauvin, Nathan Massetti, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, and Sean Levitt.